This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app and you can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via the app at participating restaurants, 18 plus rewards registration required, points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. What an absolutely fantastic first half of the show that is. And we're starting the second half of the show right now in terms of like the 3-2 defeat to Coventry City. Just before we get on to that, I do just want to bring everyone's attention to the app SofaScore. SofaScore is an app that you can download for free. There's no registration needed. It does all of these things that you can see on the screen. If you're listening to it on the podcast, you can see that as well. SofaScore ratings, heat maps, deep dives. Chelsea used it actually on the watch along. She was getting loads of stats on there. You've even got the shot map on there as well. Attack momentums. There's a QR code on the screen as well. It is completely free to download, as I say. Links in the description below. No registration needed. There's no paid for things or anything like that. And it's got loads of sports, loads of teams, and you can deep dive on historical data and things like that. Well, so make sure you download the app. I know a few of you have already done that. Let's get on to the second half of the show. We have joining us to recommend to represent the youth. We've got Liam. Hi, mate. How are you doing? Thanks for waiting so patiently. Liam writes for us as well for the alwayswolves.co.uk website. So make sure you do check that out too. And so you write a lot of sometimes match reports, player ratings, or things learnt and stuff. So we do appreciate you doing that, Liam. How are you tonight?
I'm not bad. I'm glad I didn't write about yesterday because I would have been crying whilst writing the article. But yeah, I hope everyone's recovering. I'm not. I'm still really upset, but it is what it is.
How old are you, Liam?
I'm 17.
You've got a long time. You've got plenty more cracks to get into.
I'm starting to learn. What's it called? The harsh reality of being a Wolves fan. So
I know some of us haven't got quite as much time. I met this youngster here before the game on the way to the match. I saw Nathan. I was like, you haven't had been able to come on recently because he's been busy doing something with the lady and she got things organised. But I said to him, you're going to come on Sunday night? He was like, yeah, whatever the result, here you are. How are you feeling?
Absolutely, Dave. Representing the youth.
Representing the youth, that's it, yeah.
Yeah. Only slightly older than Liam. Yeah, I'm still croaky after that second goal. I was so excited. I mean, it was such a smash and grab, completely undeserved. If we'd have walked away from that game with that victory, because Coventry were sensational. You know, I think we're all talking tonight about the weaknesses of the Wolves, but I'm sure we'll get onto it. Coventry were tremendous.
They were tremendous. And we've also got, he is back. It is Tuba Wolf Charismatic Craig, who is
not there.
I'm in the car, Dave.
Well, I was in the car. I'm on the way back from band practice.
On the way back from Leicestershire, taking the band, yeah.
And how far away from home are you?
A good 45 minutes. And I'm in no better mood than I was yesterday when I did the Nathan Judah interview. Should have some fireworks tonight. The poor band have copped out just so. Let's get on with it, shall we? Come on.
Mate, I think the reason why you've got a dark screen is because you're in a very dark place emotionally tonight.
Maybe. That's my mood, Dave, let me tell you. That's my mood.
That's your mood. Well, and finally, it is checking the watch.
Is that better?
Yes, it's well off after the watershed. I know you love to hear his thoughts. He's got. Well, let's bring him on. It's Sutty. How you doing, mate?
Good evening, David.
Good evening. Before we get started, do you just want to regale everyone that's listening who can't see what retro training wear you've got on this evening?
A dark blue, navy blue feeler top on, Dave.
So there you go. If you're listening to this back on the podcast, that's really good. How are you today, mate?
Don't know, really, Dave. I think I've gone past disappointed, Dave.
You've gone past disappointed?
Yeah, it's way past disappointment. I just don't think... Coventry, like you say, they had nothing to lose, did they? Let's be honest. They've come there. They've had 24 shots of goal, Dave. 24 shots. And it's just... not really acceptable, is it? They've caught us on a bad day. We've played basically, Dave, with 10 players because we've got nothing at all up top. And when you've got nothing at all up top, as Paul said earlier, if I'm a centre half, Dave, the one thing that really frightens the life out of me is pace. Pace, pace, and pace. There are very few centre forwards, Dave, who get on in this game without being fast at a turn of pace. If you're going to be a centre forward without pace, you have got to be so intelligent of timing your runs and almost be telepathic to the players around you that you are going to be world class when you haven't got pace. Teddy Sheringham never had pace. Harry Kane hasn't got pace. But they just know where to be, Dave. They know how to drag players out of position. You can't teach pace, Dave. You either quick or you ain't. And unfortunately, I think had we started with the lad that come on, I don't think we'd have lost the game, Dave. I think we'd have gave them something to think about where they couldn't play another 10, 15 metres up the pitch. They would have had a little bit of something to worry about. The whole game, Dave, changed when young Leon come on for Fraser. Now, it sounds like we're picking on Fraser. We're not. But this is, Dave, at the end of the day, a discussion channel where...
Absolutely. We
have to... Young Fraser, at this present time, to be good in the Premier League, you've got to have pace, Dave. And I watched him. I sit up high in the North Bank, as you know, above you, and you get such an insight into it. He's miles off it, Dave. And that's not... Coventry battered us yesterday because they knew... they could play so far up the pitch and they weren't going to get picked off. So I think we got tactics wrong. I personally would have started with young Bueno at fullback or even Dock at fullback. I would have pushed Ait Nouri up a lot.
We talked
sooner.
About this before the game, didn't we? This is what we both said.
I would have played Ait Nouri up really high up the pitch and given them something to really worry about. They would have had to play deeper, Dave. And I think we actually played into their hands. Our defending was poor. I've been a big advocate of Santi Bueno. He was poor. Kilman was poor. They were banging us with crosses, cross after cross. We weren't dealing with them. Saar kept us in the game. We didn't deserve to win the game. So when I left there yesterday, I'm thinking, well, had we battered them with 24 shots and lost, I'd have been gutted. But we deserved exactly what we got. And it all comes down, Dave, as well. We got no changes on a bench. Four fullbacks and a goalkeeper. Four fullbacks and a goalkeeper.
And kids.
Kids. We let two centre forwards go. Okay. We've all criticised them. One's got bad injury again. But we cannot keep letting players go out on loan without replacements. Now, we've flogged a dead horse here for a long time. And these players, Dave, I'm not on here criticising these players. I'm certainly not going to criticise the boss, because he has been absolutely outstanding, as have this squad of players. But when you keep flogging a dead horse, at some point it's going to fail, Dave. And it's failed at the... It's like the Grand National being so many lengths ahead, and you go over that last fence and you fall and you think, oh my God, what have we done here? This is the game where we did not want to fall, and we failed dismally. And it comes down to depth. Now, I put in our chat page earlier, Dave, that I don't mind selling a big player, Dave. I haven't a problem with selling a big player as long as it's Neto, Neto, or Neto. Any one of them three, Dave. And you'll all be up in arms now.
Why? So
why? Well, for one, I believe he's not going to play again this season, Dave. That'll take him up to over 100 games missed in five seasons. That's not good enough.
Basically, what Jack was saying last week was that we've been here for 5 years and we've had him on the pitch for 2.5.
Yeah, that's not good enough, Dave. So we have done without Neto for 2.5 years out of five. We can do without Neto. So if we get good money for Neto, which I believe somebody, don't shoot me here, but I think they'll snap someone's hand off for 50 million because he just doesn't play enough. And if he goes, Dave, and we get a good replacement for him and then get another two players for depth, guess what wouldn't have happened yesterday? We'd have won that game, Dave. We have no depth. Cannot play in this league and this country without depth. Luton have got more depth than us, Dave. Luton. That says it all.
Have they got the quality, though?
Well, they would have yesterday, Dave. That's for certain. I'd have rather have had Luton's bench yesterday.
Well, that's a very good point, yeah.
So, yes, they have, Dave. We were poor, but I believe we're poor because these players aren't getting a natural rotation. It's so unfortunate that we've got
these injuries and they're all in the same area of the pitch.
Yeah, but we're still three light, Dave, on a good squad.
I agree. I completely agree. We know that Nathan would have gone out on loan, as I said earlier, if they'd have managed to bring a striker in. It's a major priority for the summer. I mean, we've been talking about it for ages to get the right person. Obviously, you know, Fabio probably won't play again. I mean, he's playing for Rangers. He's doing all right, but, you know, it's the Scottish League.
Can I just quickly say, though, Dave, all this thing about bottle jobs and that, they didn't bottle it.
No.
They're knackered, Dave. They're knackered. You're putting square pegs in round holes here, Dave. And at the top end of the game, you need round pegs in round holes. It's as simple as that. And you can't keep flogging a dead horse, mate.
Boys, can I come in here?
Can I come in here?
Because this is doing my head in. Nothing to do with not having a striker on the pitch while we lost yesterday. We had seven bloody defenders on that pitch on the 97th minute when we were 2-1 up. we lost our professional approach. Our team were bloody switched off because they thought they'd won it. That's why we lost that game. Nothing to do with Nathan Fraser. We were 2-1 up in the 97th minute, and our team absolutely switched off. They were unprofessional. They didn't do the bloody jobs properly, and they cost us an FA Cup semi-final. That is why we lost yesterday. People like Lamina, who back heels when he should have put his foot through that ball, thinking he's bloody clever because we're only playing Coventry. Our bloody shape was absolutely shocking from the whole game, to be honest. But we lost that game because we conceded two damn goals because our team were arrogant and they switched off. They lost their bloody shape and defenders didn't do their jobs. That's why we lost that game yesterday.
Craig, I can see your passion. I don't think we've quite got on to that.
Absolutely.
I don't think we've quite gone to the end of the game yet. We're just generally talking about the game as a whole. You have made a very good point about...
We were 2-1 up in the 97th minute. I know that Fraser didn't play very well, and the whole team were rubbish at most of the game. But the reason we lost that game is we were unprofessional. We could not see that game out. That was a disgraceful 3 minutes. Absolutely disgraceful.
Liam, do you want to come back in on what Sutty's had to say? And also, obviously, you can see how this is 24, over 20, probably 36 hours on, and Craig's still literally raging. He's not happy. He's not happy.
I love his passion, but I think you've also got to look at it. We're at the stage in the season that every game is going to be a graft. I think we saw that with the Fulham game and the Sheffield United game. Every game isn't going to go swimmingly. Like, we beat Chelsea easily away, but every game from now on is going to be a graft. So we've got to look at that because all the players are knackered. I think Lamina, you can see in the past couple of games, he can't run. He's running into the ground every single game. 90th minute, he can barely run back to the halfway line after an attack. So I think looking at all of the players, they're all knackered. They're all really, really knackered because, like I think, as everyone said, we don't have good enough depth to compensate for any injuries. But I'd also make the argument that we do have depth. If all of our attack, right, let's look at it this way: our attack, we've got about five first team senior attackers in Bellegarde, Cunha, Huang Neto, and Sarabia. The fact that all of our injuries have came in the attack, that's when it starts to highlight that we've got bad depth. I don't think we do. I just think we've been very, very unlucky. Unlucky with injuries and in the area of the pitch that they've came in. And again, I think the decision to let Kalajic and Fabio go in January without bringing in a replacement just seems more questionable day by day. And I find it confusing, but I think I've seen some of the messages in the chat. I'm dying to see Noah Lamina come on the pitch. But I think yesterday was a perfect opportunity. We had no pace going forwards at all. I think Chiroma probably was the fastest.
I mean, Manny talked about Chiwewe and how he did a really good job when he came on, and he had some pace, and that caused problems. And like Sutty said, Sutty was saying, because we didn't have the pace, they weren't scared.
And that's why he needs to bring in Noah Lamina. I mean, he's been banging on about him in his press conferences and the training videos that we've watched. He seems okay. He doesn't seem terrible. And at that point, I just don't see what you lose. Maybe the defensive side of it, but you've got another 10 players behind him that can defend. It's not like you're losing major defensive player there. You're bringing him on for another attacker. It's not like you're losing a Dawson and then you're bringing on an attacker. I think we need to start seeing more of him, because you can't judge a player until he's playing in first team. You can't judge him. Like Fraser, everyone thought Fraser was all this, and he didn't have a good game yesterday. I do think he has been thrown in the deep end, but you can't judge players until...
Well, in terms of Fraser, no one wants to say he's a young lad.
Yeah.
He gives his all. He did his best. He didn't have the support around him. He was left out to dry. He hasn't got the pace. So you need the pace around him, and we didn't really have that until later on the game. And he went off, 60-odd minutes. He was cream cracker because he did try. So no one can fault him, and he was kind of left. He was very, very exposed. So we don't want to put this into a Nathan Fraser bashing team, because he stepped up. like any one of us would have done. He's stepped up to try and do a job, and he's done his best. But he's been at Wolves since the age of eight. We don't want like what happened with Morgan Gibbs-White and people start chasing him out the game because of whatever. You know, he's a young lad. He's got a lot to learn. He's done his best. He's part of his development. He'll probably go out on loan next year, and you know that'll be good for him. But he tried his best, but he didn't have a great game because he hasn't got the pace, but he didn't have the support around him.
And I'd like to make the point about Sarabia as well, because I've seen some of the messages in the chat about he wasn't playing well yesterday. If you look at how he plays, he's not a Neto, he's not a Cunha, he's not going to pick the ball up at the halfway line, drive through the heart of the team, and then go and score. Is he? He plays off those type of players. He plays off the Cunhas. He plays off the Netos. He's not that outlet that you're going to look at and think he's going to change this game. He's a really good technical player, and when he doesn't have those players around him, he's obviously not going to perform. We're asking him to do a job that he clearly can't do. It's not in his style. He's not quick enough. He hasn't got the technical ability to do that. So when you're playing him next to Frazier and Lamina, etc., you're not going to get the best out of Sarabia because they're not the type of players that he can play off.
Nathan, I want to bring you in at this point because you've listened to what everyone's had to say. Sutty's made some great comments. Craig's made some really good comments, you know, very, very passionately. Very, very articulate there from Liam. Taking all of that you've just heard, what's your contribution and what points would you like to make?
I mean, it's difficult to add much new to the conversation from what we've heard today, but what I'd probably pick up on, and Sutty made this point about square pegs, round holes, I think because the team at the moment is so wafer thin in terms of quality and the players we're forced to bring in. You know, Frazier is a victim of circumstance at the moment. We don't want to see Frazier chucked in, just like we didn't want Silva to be chucked into the deep end this early. They're a little bit out of the depth and they've got so much to learn in the game. You know, it could take another 2 or 3 years before we see the best out of Frazier. But I think we're kind of focusing on the wrong areas. I think the problem yesterday was this square pegs, round holes, players asked to do. And Lamina, you know, I think Sutty and Craig particularly picked up on Lamina. He's asked to do so many different roles within a game. And he's running himself into the ground, and he's not a winger. You know, he's a central holding midfielder, and he's a fantastic player, and he's been wonderful for us this season. But to thrust him into a front three with, you know, Sarabia and Frazier, it was always a recipe for disaster. And, you know, as I said, hats off to Coventry yesterday. I thought they were fantastic. We should be never letting 23, 24 shots on goal at home. Their crossing was sublime at times, but I think the lack of Dawson and, you know, The two central defenders had pretty awful games. They were two of the worst players on the pitch, I think. And that really didn't help our cause. So it's coming back to bite us now. FFP in the summer, the fact we've had to sell all the crown jewels and we're left with this really thin squad with so much youth on the bench. You know, people always say, oh, chuck the kids on, they'll be fine. But they're not. They always have so much to learn. And yesterday, I think, was the culmination of a few poor performances recently, in Newcastle in particular, where, you know, I can't remember where Sutty or Craig mentioned it, the players look spent, they look absolutely knackered. And I think this two-week break is just what we need. You know, we can recharge, hopefully get Kuna back in the side. You know, we shouldn't forget, I think back in 2019 when we went out in the FA Cup semis, we still made Europe. You know, we still made seventh. And I think back then, one of the reasons we lost that game against Watford was lack of depth off the bench. And 6 years on, we're still talking about the same problems. But I think yesterday was just a victim of circumstance. We just got so many players, as Liam said, so many players playing in the same position, all out at the same time. We just let them play so far forward because we had no pace to sort of defend from the front. So it was disappointing. And, you know, I think everybody thought when we got Coventry as the draw, that was the plum draw of the round.
It was, you know, the plum draw, but you have to say, Coventry, as I mentioned earlier, came to the party, you know, with a game plan. They came with no fear because they had nothing to lose. They had absolutely nothing to lose as a team. So they could have a go. And if they lose, which at one point we thought they were going to do, like Manny said, some of the Coventry fans had left. You know, they'd still come over to their fans. Their fans would have said, "Blooming hell, you give it a good go. Well done." You know, and they would have deserved it. And we'd have been coming out going, do you know what? We were lucky. We got away with that. Let's get some of our players back. But we got through and we showed the quality. That second goal that we scored was the one bit of Premier League quality we showed all game. It was fantastic. And that was down to eight Norrie playing further forward, running with the ball. And we had four players surging forward into the box, making the runs. And eight Norrie had the quality to make that ball to Hugo Bueno. And he's also a wing back. And he finished it. And I think Gary O'Neill referenced, because, you know, we had, you know, Hugo Bueno, eight Norrie, you know, wing backs, defenders, they were like in the box, and it cost us at the other end. So, T, I want to come back to you because a few people have pulled you up talking about Santiago Bueno, because you have championed him as being, you know, better than Dawson. Dawson was out yesterday, with, you know, obviously with a groin, and they're saying he had a very, very poor game and he was bullied. What, you know, he had chances to clear for that second goal. He didn't. What's your take?
Well, I'm not. I don't, as I've always said to you, Dave, I can only go on how he's played in the previous games, and he's been outstanding. Nobody was any good yesterday, Dave. I'll just pick him out.
Okay? No, I'm just, because people
are... This is aimed at you. This is to everybody. I'll just pick him out. He isn't the problem. When we're a team, and we are fully prepared as a team, with a full team, we defend from the front. We close down fast. We harass. We get into centre half. We go at full backs. We close them down fast. And we force them into making mistakes. We can't do that, Dave. As soon as we had the ball back, got the ball back, yes, we played it up top. We lost it. It's straight back. Okay? Now, the easiest part of the game, any professional footballer will tell you, Dave, is defending. That's the easiest part of the game. So if you're not defending as a unit, everything will break down, Dave. Everything. Santiago Bueno will be a very good player for us. But like in any team sport, as I've said so many times on here, Dave, I've lost count how many times I've said it on here. If you have three players that don't perform, you will lose. Now, I can count yesterday. Saar performed. He kept us in the game.
Oh, he did. He did.
He's our man of the match. Make no mistake about that. And eight Norrie. So you've got nine players of five and left yesterday. So as a team collective, you have been very, very poor.
Do you point any of the blame on that, though? Although, you know, we've Gary O'Neill's done a great job. Do you believe that this was Nuno made a mistake in the semi-final for me? And we all love Nuno when he took off our creative players and we sat back and we gave that, you know, they scored. Do you point to any of the blame in how Gary O'Neill set us up? Because, like, he was asking Lamina to play further forward, so we lost him out the midfield. We talked about, you know, Ryan Aitnori. We could see it before the game, playing further up, so we've got the pace. I think someone else has mentioned about Chihuahua, about, like, how he got the pace. That would have given the Coventry a lot more to think about. They wouldn't have expected it, probably, and they wouldn't have been so gung-ho going forward.
Well, it wouldn't have been. Think about our biggest outlet over the last four or five seasons, Dave. And Ian used to play 15 minutes a game in general. And you'd get off the bench and the crowd would lift. I personally thought he was bang average. He'd been more at home in the Olympics than he was playing football. There's a lot of people love him. I didn't, because he wasn't good enough. That's a simple fact. If he was that good, Dave, he'd be playing week in, week out for Fulham. But what it did, it frightened the living daylights out of people, Dave, because if he did play one of his games where he had an outlet and he put decent balls in, after these long, mazy, quick runs, it is petrifying to a defending side. We didn't have that yesterday, Dave. If he'd have played eight Norrie further up, put Bueno in at the back and maybe that would have been a little bit different. Maybe that would have been your outlet. But even so, we're so depleted, Dave, across your front line. Tarabia's not fat. Young Fraser, I reckon at 54 years of age, over 100 metres, he wouldn't finish any fat further than 5 or 6 metres in front of me. And I ain't quick. I've never been quick. So if you don't frighten people with pace, what they do is they step up 10, 15 metres and they will let that risk happen. If you get through, they'll catch you. You see, we say there's a massive gulf in the Championship, League One, League Two. If you're a professional footballer in League Two and I pluck you out of that League Two side and put you in a good Premier League side with good players around you, you will perform. The trouble with Wolves at the moment is depth. And if you're taking 4 or 5 of your first 11 out and you've got no depth that's slightly better on the bench, because let's be honest, we've got nothing that's slightly better on the bench. It's miles different. It's nowhere near the levels that you need to compete. And that's what's letting us down. We don't defend as a unit, because as soon as it goes forward, we lose it. We're under the cosh again. It's only going to be a matter of time, Dave, before you start, especially when you're tired as well. You are going to concede. That's the reality of it, Dave. We've got to look at how we're investing in this side this summer. Somebody's going to have to go to bring 2 or 3 in that makes us a better overall team. We can't just, you know, Kilman was shite yesterday. Who's calling Kilman out? He was awful day yesterday. Truly awful. Santiago Bueno were much better. You could name 8 or 9 of them. Now, I'm not saying they bottled it, Dave. They were just really poor. They're really poor.
A lot of players were playing out of position.
Well, yeah, and sometimes you try even harder when you're playing poor, and it's almost like you're running in treacle. You just can't get anywhere. Sometimes it happens. I'm not defending them, Dave. That is the best chance that we'll ever have of getting to semi-final. It will never be better than that. And we've blown our lines. We've fluffed our lines massively, Dave. There's no excuses, Dave, for it. They should still have got through that game.
Here comes Craig. Someone has just said,
apologies for
let
me.
The Craig loose.
Yeah, who was playing out of position yesterday that hasn't played there a few games this season, apart from that he pushed Lamina up. And by the way, the first error for me was gone. Gary O'Neill was poor yesterday. His whole preparation of the side and the tactics from the first minute, we did this bloody tippy-tappy football round the back of the... that was cup football. You knew that Coventry were going to go gung-ho, and we sat there thinking how superior we are. Look at us, how we knock it round. Aren't we great? No, we're not great. The second thing is they closed us down and they've done their homework. Robbins outthought gone yesterday. I was sitting on the halfway line in row Z of the Billy Wright, and I could see it all unfold. And you could see that Robbins had done his homework. We turned up for that game. We weren't mentally prepared. Coventry came for a battle. We came for a walkover. Sticking Fraser, who, by the way, yeah, he had a terrible game, but I felt so sorry for him. When we had the ball, there got to have been 20 yards between Fraser and the next Wolves player.
This is what I was saying. He was left very exposed, wasn't he?
He was isolated. He was isolated. He never stood a chance. We murdered that kid yesterday, as bad a game as he had, because we played with 10 men, because our tactics were absolutely wrong. I'm going to ask again, who, apart from Fraser being brand new, who played out of their normal positions yesterday? Who played out of their normal positions?
I'm not saying to start. What I'm saying is, when we're bringing players on to change a game, we're putting round pegs, We're old. We don't have the depth to bring players on, Craig, where we've got decent... We haven't got quality on the bench.
I agree there. I agree, but I'm on about the starting 11.
I wasn't on about the starting 11,
you see, I am. And then we got out of jail because I turned around to this bloke. I said, hey, we're 2-1 up here. I will never know in a million years. Cov must be as sick as pigs. They absolutely battered us.
And then
we do the, and this is why I'm so cross. Yeah, we were useless yesterday. We were awful. And there's a lot of reasons for that. We may well have been fatigued for all the reasons that you and many other people have said, that we've relied on the same players far too long. However, if those players, being professional footballers, cannot close a game out, being Premiership players, with 3 minutes to go and seven defenders on that pitch, they can't close a game out, we don't stand a chance. And I've been saying for 12 months, guys, and you know I have, we need two new centre-halves at our club, never mind a striker, because Kilman, Santi Bueno ain't good enough, and Dawson's getting old. And I've been saying it for 12 months, and everybody's been raving about a striker. I'll make my point again. We were 2-1 up in the 97th minute, and we let two goals in 3 minutes. That is nothing to do with people being out of position. We had seven defenders on there. We just lost our heads. We were unprofessional. Those players want shooting for that last 3 minutes.
Craig, I've got to say, that's the bit that really annoys me too, is how we managed to get in front and then squander it at the end.
Dave, we didn't deserve it.
I agree.
I was embarrassed.
If we had a won, as I said, we would have come out and gone, we were very lucky. We wouldn't have deserved it.
But we got 2-1, didn't we? And quality.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm annoyed as well, the fact that we let it go so late.
Yeah. Quality players who keep their heads. You reshape. We did it against Man United. We lost our heads. We lost our
shape.
And that is down to players. Our centre-halves, Kilman, I don't know why they're raving about Kilman. That guy gets caught out of position so many times. And the one Achilles heel that he's got that's worst of anything is a ball over the top of him. When you put a ball over the top of him, he gets caught every time. So our centre-halves are not good enough. Tomato's playing out of his skin. Out Nuri and Bueno, they're playing great. It's in the middle. And those players got walked over by Championship players. I am absolutely fuming, as you can probably tell.
Yeah, and that's the bit that really... If you've watched my match vlog, you can see the emotion of how I didn't know where we were going to get a goal from, and then we got gifted one where it was a good finish from Ryan Aitnuri, and then all of a sudden we clicked and we scored a great second goal, which was for me was the one bit of Premier League quality we showed. And at that point, we managed Brighton for 93 minutes with hardly
giving
a sniff, and then we only had 10 minutes to manage the game, and then somehow they've got two on the back post for the second, the equaliser. And there's one of our, I'm not sure who it is. He's watching him. All he needs to do is be goal side. He deals with it. And we had two chances to clear it.
Dave,
and then the third goal, the guy's left completely exposed.
How many chances did we let up on that back post through the game? I mean, that one Coventry player who missed that chance, was it about 17 minutes? He got a side foot into an empty net. The same ball caught us out every single time. Our centre-halves were woeful yesterday. And when we've lost 4-0 and 5, they've been the problem, the centre-halves, which is why I've been saying you get two brand-new centre-halves in of real quality because we ain't got them at the moment. But our game management yesterday, including our manager, was absolutely atrocious.
Craig, I'm going to come to Liam and Nathan in just a second. I just want to ask you, do you still think Wolves are finishing top seven? Because you've said it all year long.
Without the injuries, Dave, yeah, but who'd have thought we'd have had four of our starting strikers out at the same time? And that then, though, Dave, to be fair, goes totally and utterly in support of what Sutty and everybody else are saying. But I'm saying yesterday, the lack of our strikers wasn't the reason we lost that game. Yes, our strikers being out are going to hurt us going forward, but that wasn't the reason we lost that game yesterday. We lost that game because we were totally and utterly unprofessional. Not even a non-league side would have done what we did yesterday. We were unprofessional. I'd have belted them all if they'd have come in the dressing room yesterday, because that was just disgraceful.
Would you have been throwing teacups?
Worse than that, mate. There'd have been a David Beckham stitches going around.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Right, we're going to come back in a second. Liam and Nathan, I know you've waited really patiently. It's good to get everyone a chance to really say... Liam, I want you to come in again on your thoughts of, again, everything you heard just and add a little bit more context to what Craig says. Craig's obviously very, very passionate. Sutty's been quite measured, to be honest. And I know Sutty will be really, really hurting inside because he really wants us to win a pot. And this was a really good opportunity. I mean, I was like, there was literally everyone who watches this channel knows how much the FA Cup means to me. And my dad, who's 87 next Saturday, actually, and how he desperately wants to go to an FA Cup final and sing Abide With Me. And, like, you know, it means everything. I'm not going to be frightened to say I had tears coming down my eyes at the end of that game because of how much I love my dad and how much I want to make that happen. And my dad said in the reaction, those of you that said it, he went, just get it done before he's 90. So he's given 3 years, basically, to get to the FA Cup final. So still got time. Liam, you've got lots of time. But come back on everything that had a little bit more context.
Yeah, I think we've got a very emotional group, and we see it a lot when we're winning, going into the last couple of minutes of the game. We usually concede. I think we had it with Chelsea, 2-0 up, and then we conceded. We're very lucky that Doc scored there, because if he didn't, obviously...
Fulham, we conceded right at the end. Man United, when we got back into it, we were very, very similar to this game, naive and...
It's not even like some of these goals that we concede in the last minute, they don't really matter because we're 3-0, 2-0 up. It doesn't really matter that we're conceding, but we've got a very emotional group. And I feel like as a group, they look up at the time, see 94th minute, and they might think, oh, it's over, just a couple more minutes. And they're gonna be hearing the fans chant about, oh, we're going to Wembley. And again, it's a very emotional group, so they're already thinking they're already at Wembley. That's what they're thinking. So they're very complacent when it comes to the last couple of minutes of the game, and I think that comes with time because you look at the team; it's very, very young. It's a very young squad. I think we're up there with one of the youngest average age in the Prem. I'm not too sure, but I think we're up there definitely. So yeah, it's a very emotional group, and I think that's bad when it comes to when you need to be a when you need to manage a game and you need to see a game out going into the last couple of minutes. It's bad when you have an emotional group. So I think like Craig said, the game management wasn't there and it was terrible, really, game management wise. And I'd also like to follow up on another point you made about the centre-backs. I think we're very lucky that some of the teams in the Premier League have just stick to one style of football, because if they, I think we saw it at Brighton start the season, all they had to do was lob a ball over Dawson and Kilburn, and then they were in, and they did it three times at the start of that second half, and they scored all three.
That was early season when we lost 4-0.
Yeah. I think the only centre-back I can think of who can deal with a ball over the top is Totti, and he's playing on the left side. That doesn't compensate for the other side of the pitch. So, again, I do feel like we do need more at least a couple centre-backs with a bit more pace about them, because we're going into a new era of football where pace is the most important part of your game. I think everyone's been saying about Frazier, if you don't have pace, then you won't make it in the Prem. So we need centre-backs who can deal with the ball over the top. I think that's our biggest weakness, personally.
As again, some really great points, Nathan. This final bit on this before we go to the man of the matches and all that sort of stuff. Craig's been refueling.
Yeah, I was mesmerised by Craig's refueling there. Well done, Craig.
Sorry about that, boys.
That's right, mate.
All right, you thought you got that upset. You'd gone.
Oh no!
If you listen to the podcast, Craig left the vehicle.
No, now he's on mute. Just another couple of points. I think tactically, you know, I think Sutty and Craig mentioned. I think O'Neill got it wrong yesterday in terms of the subs. I know we haven't got much to call on, but you know, I think taking Doyle off early seemed strange because Doyle was at times dictating play. He was passing it about nicely. I thought that's a strange sub. Now it came off with obviously Bueno scoring, but I still thought that was odd. And not to see Traore, I thought we were losing the battle in the middle. And I thought Traore coming on might have made a bit of a difference.
Did we not have another sub at the end? Because I was saying when we were winning, we should have brought him on. Because
absolutely.
Did we not have a sub?
Who did he bring on? He brought on Hugo Bueno, he brought on Chihuahua.
That was only two intervals.
We had another sub left.
Yeah, I don't know why. I'm back.
Yeah, I was flabbergasted by that. I can't really understand why we didn't see Traore. You know, of all the professionals we've got on the bench, you know, at least he is a senior, and he's not an academy player. That I found was odd. You know, we've been through it all tonight, but I think one of the big mistakes for me, I know Craig said it wasn't about the front three, but I think it was about the front three, because we defend better when we've got that pace up top and we can stop the ball coming through. We played so far back that they were just getting balls behind us. And then, as I've said, you know, give Coventry credit, their crossing was superb. And I thought Sims on the day was excellent. You know, he missed that side foot chance, but then came back with two goals and an assist. And I think they were just hungry on the day, and we didn't seem to be at it. We didn't seem to want it. Whether it was we get back, you know, we can make excuses about a team being knackered and the you know, we're rinsing them because we're playing the same team week in, week out. But at the end of the day, it was a pathetic performance, and especially, you know, as Craig back. I echo Craig's sentiments on, you know, I am a Kilman fan. I like Kilman. I think he's a decent player, but I think yesterday he was woeful, and he was probably the worst player on the pitch. Bueno wasn't far behind at times. I don't think they won a single header that was the ball played to the two front men. I don't think they won a single challenge, and I've not seen that all season, to be honest. So yeah, it was a day to forget. And as you said, Dave, I sit with a couple of lads next to me who are a little bit older. You know, one's in their late 70s, another's 80. How many opportunities are they going to get for Wembley? You know, and we thought yesterday was one of those big opportunities. We were already planning the day. You know, I remember just quickly. I remember the last time we obviously played Watford. It was 2-0 up, and I was just about to turn to my brother and say, "Should we stay here for the final?" And then it went 2-2. So yeah, yesterday was like I said, day to forget. We move on, and I think Villa being 2 weeks away is a blessing, because we get to, you know, recuperate and hopefully bring in some players back. But I think, yeah, the worst performance of the season yesterday by a country mile.
Yeah, and it's just the Wolves' way, isn't it? It's like, we saw that we had the ecstasy of the two injury goals against Tottenham when we played really well that day, and we were on top and we deserved it. And we've had the real low points of the Man United game conceding so late. of yesterday. That the bit that really got to me. I would rather have lost 1-0 than lose like we did after coming back and going 2-1 up, because it's, someone said, it's the hope that kills you. When we came back to being 2-1 up after everything had happened, and I was staying through the game, Saar literally kept us in the match and made save after save. And when you've got still got a platform at 1-0 down, you've still got a chance. We took our chance, we took the lead, and then we're a Premier League team. We should be able to manage that game out. And we, not only did we concede an equaliser, we then didn't even get to go to extra time, which is, that's the bit that really grinds me. It's like, only Wolves can do this. It's just only us.
Dave, get
within 60 seconds of a FA Cup final, or 10 minutes. It was 10 minutes again, wasn't it? And then lose it. And only us can get so close after coming from behind and then lose it again. It's just, when will it? When will we be able to take the next steps? I know we had injuries and stuff like that, but it's still absolutely heartbreaking for so many reasons.
Dave,
the Coventry fans, they're in dreamland. I've got to say, the Coventry fans, you have to feel for them because of what's happened to them over the last 7 years and the depths of despair that they've gone through as fans, losing their ground, going down to League Two. And, you know, they've got this bit of joy back for them, and hopefully they'll, you know, they lost on penalties to Luton in the playoff final last year, so they know what it feels like. The one thing that I'm hoping from this young set of players, and from Gary O'Neill, because it is a separate squad, it's a brand new squad to the Nuno squad, is what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And they will hopefully grow from this experience, you know, learn from it and be stronger with hopefully reinforcements. Like what Sutty said, we might lose a star player or two, but the squad will be strong because there is a team spirit in this team. They have fought for us. They have fought for themselves. They've given everything. And that's why I don't think they were la-di-da yesterday or anything like that. They just were exposed and they had a bad day at the office, and Coventry went for us as a dangerous animal, and we got what we deserved. But I hope really that they come back stronger and next time they can go the next step, because, you know, we as fans, we're not going to win the Premier League, unlikely. We can win the Carabao Cup and we can win the FA Cup. Coventry had a very, very nice draw up until us. They had a real easy route to the quarterfinals. But on the day, they showed up in 24 shots. We've got to learn from this experience. And if they take it, bottle it, and grow from it, then it's better. Then hopefully we'll come back stronger. Go on, Craig.
I was just saying, there is no way that this team doesn't give us everything every game. However, that's different to being mentally strong. And we struggle against any team, right, that either closes us down or is seen as an inferior team to us. We struggle against those teams every time we play them, and that is a mental issue. We don't move the ball quick enough. We tend to slow it down. It's almost an arrogance, as though, you know, we don't need to move the ball at pace. Because if you move the ball slowly against Man City, against Spurs, against Chelsea, against Arsenal, we know that those teams will kill you. They'll murder you. And yet lower teams, the Burnleys, this world, the Lutons, we just saunter about. And we did it yesterday. And I turned around to the guy next to me. After 5 minutes, I said, "We're in trouble today." And he said, "Why?" I said, "We're playing this slow, tippy-tappy football that has got no pace to it, no injection, no..."
But Craig, we didn't have pace on the pitch. We had no pace.
We had more pace than we showed, Dave. We had more pace than we showed. We were slow. We were slow mentally. And we woke up for 10 minutes and murdered them for 10 minutes, went 2-1 up, and then we switched off again.
That, and you're right, you're right with that, but we didn't, we that's the what part of the thing that we've been talking about, Sutty's been talking about, Liam, Nathan's touched on it as well, because we didn't have that pace. Coventry weren't frightened of the pace that we had, so they
could afford
to go forward.
Dave, I'm not on about raw pace. I'm on about moving the ball at pace. And there's a totally different thing. We saunter about. We just mess it about. We walk about. And then wonder why lesser teams beat us. And that's what happened yesterday. The ball was not pinned about. We were not moving into space. We weren't looking for the gaps. I'm not talking about...
I agree to a point with that. And to be honest, this is Wolves' big Achilles heels. And I've said on this channel that if we're going to be a top seven, top six side, this is the level that we've got to go up. We've got to be able to. It's all right beating Tottenham twice, Chelsea twice, City, and all of these teams that sit. We've got to be able to break teams down and have that. Have we got that in the squad? Probably not. Has Gary O'Neill had enough coaching time? Has he had a pre-season? Has he got his own team? You've got to give him, the manager, the chance to do what he needs to do in the summer, have a proper pre-season. And then we'll see next season, because if we want to go to the next level, we've got to be able to do that. We need to finish off anyway, guys, because it is coming up to 2 hours and the second part of the show. So, Sutty, Lee Moore, Windows Man of the Match, Fox at Ship, good performance rating, your highlight or moment of the day.
So, our Man of the Match, I can't give it any more than a 4. They were that bad, Dave.
Okay.
Really poor. And my moment of the day, Dave, was getting away from that place as quick as I possibly could.
At the end of the game.
Yep.
Liam?
I'd say the rating would be 5. I would give it a 4, but in that 10-minute period probably knocks it up a point for me personally. For man of the match, I'd probably say 8-0, but I'd give a strong shout-out to Saar, because Saar obviously kept us in the game, but I think 8-0 was different class. I put a tweet up about it the other day. I'd be very surprised if a big club don't come in for 8-0 this summer. We're all talking about Neto. We don't want to lose Neto.
Well, I think this is why Sutty is saying, sell Neto. I think that's why 8-0 is not in there, because I think Sutty highly rates him, and I think he feels that he's more important to the team than Neto.
I think when Aitnori's been injured this season, we've lacked that bit of quality down that left-hand side. So I think it's very important that we keep him going into next season. But like I said, I'd be very surprised if a big club like Man City, even United, don't come in and put some big money for him. So I would go Aitnori for the man of the match. And for moment of the day, I had McDonald's after, and that was probably the best McDonald's I had in a while. So
you had a really nice Mackey's. What was it, mate?
It was just a cheeseburger and chips. Kept it simple. But it was 10 times better in the game. So I'd probably say the food I had after was great.
I'm loving that. Yeah. I'm loving that. Nathan, let's go to you next.
I think I agree with Sutty on Saar. Sounds like a kids' TV show. I think Saar and Aitnori are the only players who would get over 5, I think, in terms of ratings on the day. I'd give them I'm struggling to give them a 3. I think they were that woeful. That's the worst I've seen them all season. So, yeah, I'll go a 3. And I think, like Liam, my lunch was ciabatta with some pastrami and rocket with a bit of American mustard. And that was really top-notch. That was the highlight for me. I think eating that at lunch at half-time was about the best it got. So, there you
go. Loving it. Craig? For you, yeah, right? We can just about see you. Still, hopefully, you're not far from home now.
No, I'm nearly home now. To 2 for me. Saar, man of the match, but yeah, Eamon, Ryan Aitnori with a standout. The rest were just woeful. And my highlight of the day, me being a bit older than most of you guys, we've seen Kenny a bit and Willie Carr in the upper, Billy Wright. They were my childhood heroes. I watched Kenny score that goal against Man City at Wembley in 1974. And it was a bit of a shock seeing them, because they're obviously getting on now. Willie Carr is on sticks. So they look really old, which is a bit of a, a shock to me because of me being only 21 and whatever. But it was just great seeing such legends at Molineux, and they'd have been disappointed with that yesterday without any doubt.
Fantastic. Right, and just to finish on, I want to finish on a high tonight. We're not doing the quiz. It is basically your first game, if you can remember it, and the best game that you can remember. A high, a real high, and a real positive to try and finish on. Go on, Sutty. You can go first on this one.
First game, 77-78 at home to Bolton Wanderers. Young lad stood on a beer crate in the old Molineux Road stand, the one where the roof went like that. John Ireland and Steve Bull. So if you think the Steve Bull stand's terrible, you should have gone in the Molineux Road.
Yeah.
It was awful. But that was my first game. Best game for atmosphere. I've got quite a lot that were shite there, but I've got a few that were good. And so I'm going to go for a really recent one, because in that game, we were absolutely dire for 82 minutes. And then we beat the Villa 3-2.
Oh, man. Yeah.
And it was just, if you were in that away end.
I was, mate.
And I was.
Yeah.
A bloke in front of me broke his ankle, and everybody's jumping up and down on him. And he's shouting, have we scored? Have we scored? So yes, we've won, mate. He was cheering on the floor that we'd scored and got the winner. So. But there's quite a few, obviously, playoff finals and stuff like that. But that, just for the drama of it all and who it was against, was just priceless.
Strangely enough, we've got them next.
I know.
We've got them next.
They're a different animal now, though, Dave.
Yeah, mate. They keep trying to beat us, though. Somehow, so far, we seem to be a bit of a bogey side for Villa, but let's hope that continues. Liam. You probably haven't got so far to go back of being 17.
I think the first one I can remember was in 2012. I was a mascot in the pre-season. I think it was against his Spanish team. I don't know the exact name. It was Real something. It was a Spanish team and I was mascot. That's probably
either Real Betis or Villarreal, but I don't think it's Real Madrid, so it must have been one of the other
two. No, it wasn't Real Madrid. I think I would have remembered that if it was
Villarreal or Real Betis.
Yeah, I've got no clue. I've got absolutely no clue. All I know is they wear a white kit and they're the Spanish team. So,
yeah.
And the best moment, I'd probably say, there's a couple, to be fair. I think City, the 3-2 City's up there, but I think going back a bit as well, Rotherham in League One, 6-4. Oh,
mate, that one was
mayhem.
And there was four goals in added time or something like that. It was crazy.
It's Real Sociedad. They've put it in the chat. Real Sociedad.
There you go.
I think it was them. I might be wrong. I think it was them. Anyway, yeah. It's Rotherham 6-4. I can remember it was really weird. I can remember leaving early for some reason, because obviously I didn't really understand. I can remember leaving early and there's people walking down the car park. And I didn't know the score. All I heard was loads and loads of cheering. And I couldn't really make out what the score was. So I remember asking this guy, what's the score? And he goes, 6-4. So I was really confused at that time. But I enjoyed that game. That game was probably my favourite one of my lifetime, really. And I haven't had much Wolves game, so.
Fair enough.
Nathan? Yeah, I was a bit, despite only being 21, I was a bit late to the game. So I think my first game was Ipswich, 1990 or 91 at home. And I went in the wrong end. I went in the old South Bank, but I went in the Ipswich end. And then the steward made me pay again just to stand on the other side of the fence, which was good of him. I think we lost that game 1-0. And then I think my favourite game, simply because it's my favourite ever goal, is Stockport away, Mark Kennedy with a volley. Just an absolute. If you look it up on YouTube, it's just one of the greatest goals I think we've ever scored. Absolutely sublime. Not quite as good as the Neves.
Mark Kennedy really did.
Yeah. Not quite up there with the Neves, but my favourite away goal, without a shadow of a doubt. Was there a third part to that, Dave? Sorry, my old brain can't.
No. First game, favourite.
Yeah, I'd say that then.
And Craig, finally to you, as you nearly get home. You look like at the moment, you look like at a police academy, you know. When they're
okay. 1973, Leeds United. We used to have some absolute belting games, always very close as well. 1-0, 2-1. Horrible side to play. Billy Bremner, Reaney, all of those people, Norman Hunter. My favourite game, I mean, I've had a few, but one that I loved was Albion away. You know, that we've just broke this duck. Well, I was there in the away end when Ewan Roberts scored his hat trick, and we were going absolutely bombing. The Albion fans hated it, which made it all the more fun. So it was 4-2, Wolves win away at Albion in the Albion end.
Absolutely brilliant. Now, guys, I did want to finish on a little bit of a high. Thank you again to Creation Walk for powering the show. Obviously, in regards to the sofa score, it's in the link. It's free. It's a brilliant app. You won't regret getting it. You don't have to register. And there's a QR code on there as well. I did want to finish on a little bit of a high because, like all of us, you love your team. You dream of getting to Wembley. You dream of things like getting to an FA Cup final. And, you know, when you're hot favourites to progress and then you don't, and we played like we did and it finished like it is, it's hard for all of us. It's just so, so difficult to think we've got to wait another year for this opportunity to try yet again. And it's disappointing. But the one thing I will say, here we are talking about getting knocked out in an FA Cup quarterfinal. We're 10th place in the Premier League. At the start of the season, everyone was thinking, are we even going to, a lot of people thinking, are we even going to be in the division come the end of the season? We're going to be in a relegation scrap. So the fact that we can feel the pain of having a cup run and going out in the quarterfinal and we're not in a worrying about relegation, we have to take some positives out of the season. Gary O'Neill has done a good job. We're where we are, how the end of the season will pan out, where we will finish, we will wait and see. How he's going to cope, we will see. It's 2 weeks to the next one. But I just want to say, think back to the summer. Think how everything was in disarray, how everyone was divided. And now we've got a team that, we went out, we're upset, we're gutted, we're angry. But they are together and they are playing for the fans and the fan base are a bit more united. So, that's my positive end. And I hope the season doesn't peter out and we keep going there and we can go and take on Aston Villa in the next one, and let's cause them a little bit of pain by doing Tottenham Hotspur a favour and seeing whether we can drag them out of the Champions League. That would be kind of a nice little one. Final thoughts from everyone, one little sentence, Sooty.
I don't really think there's any positives we can take out of that, Dave. And let's just pray that we get some players back. Because if we don't, I don't see us keeping Villa out of a Champions League spot, unfortunately. Sorry, Dave.
No, that's fair enough. Liam?
I'd say keep the faith, to be honest. I think we've had such a good season from everyone's expectations at the start of the season. It's exceeded them and by a mile. So I'd say keep the faith. We've got 2 weeks now for international break. Hopefully Cunha comes back, and I think he's probably massively important. So if he comes back by Villa, I think we'll be okay. And come the summer, hopefully we have a good transfer window. Gary O'Neill has a pre-season with his team, so hopefully next season we'll be even better than this one. I think we'd be lucky if we had that. But yeah, I'd say just keep the faith, really.
Nathan?
Well, as Sooty said, I think you've got to look at Villa, and they're going to be a tough tall order to beat, but we've gone into games this season with low expectations and put in some tremendous performances. Yesterday wasn't one of them, but some of our, some of the games this season, Spurs, Chelsea, have been tremendous. So I think that's what we need to remember, that there is a good team in there. Yesterday didn't show that. And as Liam said, we're going to the summer. Don't get arrested.
Police Academy.
It really is. We go into the summer with an FFP reset, and hopefully that means we can, you know, clear the decks a little bit and bring in some more quality. Because, yeah, I wouldn't be shedding many tears if Neto disappeared. I think it's you just get tired of the same old with the injuries. And, you know, when Adama went, I was happy Adama went, to be honest. Again, he flatters to deceive. I've never really been an Adama fan, so we didn't lose much in the summer in terms of quality, apart from Neves. We can go again this summer, and I think we can really make this team even stronger and go again next season. But as you said, Dave, we had really low expectations beginning of the season. We were all fearing the worst, a relegation battle. Luckily, there's three awful teams down there, but we haven't needed that. You know, we haven't needed that lack of quality. We've kind of proven that we're a good side, and I think Europe might be a step too far. But even if it's mid-table this season, I think that is a tremendous result. And, you know, hats off to O'Neill for that.
Craig?
Yeah, these guys have been amazing this season, which is what makes yesterday even more sort of upsetting. We couldn't have asked any more of them, certainly in the league. It just is incredibly disappointing that they couldn't concentrate until the final whistle. If they've learned from that and they realise the pain of that, and that keeps them focused through a whole game, right till the last kick, all well and good, we'll have learned. So onwards and upwards, it's over now. I've had my rant, wondrous through and through, wondrous till I draw my last breath, and I'll still be there, so get going.
Fantastic. That sums it up. Listen, we've had well over 600 watching, 30 in the entire show, which is absolutely amazing. Thank you ever so much for your support. Wherever you're watching in the world, it's much appreciated. You know, obviously, you know, a load more of you will watch it off on catch up. It'll go out onto podcast as a two-parter. Part one will be tomorrow and part two will be the day after. So if you want to listen to it back in the car or when you're running, or as people do, you can do, but you'll also be able to watch it on catch up. So thank you ever so much for that. If you've subscribed tonight, I just to tell you that we have gone on the channel over 33,000, which is crazy to think there are more people subscribed to Always Wolves Fan TV than you can fit in Molineux, which is mad when you think about it. So thank you for all your support. Thanks to all the guests tonight. They've been absolutely brilliant. You know, it's much appreciated. And this has been your therapy for the game, to get it all out, off our chest, talk it through, put it behind us, got the internationals to come on, and then we'll get on to dealing with Villa in 2 weeks' time, and we'll see what happens. And obviously we'll be talking about that after the game, whatever happens. But thanks for joining us. Hope it's helped a little bit of therapy, because we needed it, and we can move on. From all of us to all of you, wherever you are, always Wolves.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates are already booked in for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.